We're going to start Be'ez Hashem, the fourth perek, Mishotzi Uhu. And this is a continuation of the Dinim of Tchumin of Shabbos. And especially the din of somebody who leaves the Tchum of Shabbos, either Beraton, based on his own free will decision, or Ba'ones, circumstances force him. What's the din of someone who Shoves Chutz La'ir? And other details with regard to Erev Tchumen. So just by way of introduction, you're not allowed to leave Chutz L'Tchum on Shabbos, and there's Machlokas Tanoim and Sota on Chav Zayim and Beis, whether that's a Torah law or a rabbinic law. The Shear of Tchum, of course, is 2,000 Amah in every direction, but if a person is Shoves in the city, then the entire city is considered Arba Amos. It's all his domain. And therefore he's allowed to leave the outer boundaries of the city, and from there 2,000 Amos in each direction. The same din would apply to any area that is surrounded by Mechitzas. Now, where is the Tchumo Shel Adam? That is determined at the moment of Knisat HaShabbat, of Knisat Shabbos. If after Knisat Shabbos he goes out of his Tchum, then he loses his original Makom, and all he'll get is Arba Amos. If he goes back to his original place, that's something that's going to be addressed in the Mishnah a little bit later on in this Perek. The law of Tchumin applies even with regard to objects. And the objects are dependent upon and dragged by the place where he himself, the Bailim, was Konesh Visa. And you cannot remove those Kalim beyond the place where the Bailim will Konesh Visa. If a person wants to go to a far off place, let's say 2,000 Amah from his Makom Shvisa, then before Shabbos he can put down an Erev Tchumin at a distance of 2,000 Amah from his place, and then it's considered as if he was Konesh Shvisa in that place, and he's allowed to go another 2,000 Amah. Our Mishnah here on Daf Mem Aleph Amid Beis is going to explain the din of a person who had to leave his Makom Shvisa Bal Korcho against his will, whether or not he returns to his original place or he does not. Mishotzi'u Nochrim. The Goyim forced him to leave his Makom, and they left him out of the Tchum. Or, alternatively, Takfasa Ruach Ra'a. Some sort of a shade, a demon, entered into him, and therefore his mind was not working. He wasn't lucid, and he left the Tchum outside the Tchum of Shabbos. Now, after he recollects his thinking, Nisyashva Daito, realizing that he's Chutz L'Tchum, Ein Lo Ela Arba Amos. He cannot move from the spot more than four Amos. And that's the principle of Yotza Mimokom Sheshovas Bo. He left the original Tchum where he was Shoves, and in the Tchum that he finds himself now, he was not Konesh Shvisa. And therefore he doesn't have the 2,000 Amah that he usually gets. The Gemara later on, at the end of this Perek, is going to clarify the din of four Amos, and how the Chachomim derive that from the Pasuk, Shvu Ish Tachtov. The Torah gave a person a Rishus to go Tachtov, a Mokum that's Tachtov, and what is considered Tachtov, three Amos. For example, Itzar Gufo will give him another Amma to stretch out his arms and his legs. That's the Shita Rabbi Meir on Daf Mem Ches. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the extra Amma is so that he can grab onto an object that's underneath his foot or his feet, and he can put it under his head. There's Machlokes Tanoim later on in Daf Mem Hey. How do we calculate this four Amma radius? do we consider that the person is standing in the middle and he has two amos in each side, or wherever he's standing will give him four amos to each direction. The Mishnah continues, Hechziru, the Nachman brought him back to the original place, or for example, he himself went back to his original place during that period of time when he was Takfaso Ruach Ra, when he was under the spell of the evil demon, is Ki'ilu Lo Yatza. We consider as if that original cause that took him out of his original Makom now has replaced him back into his original Makom. It's as if he never left his original Makom, and once again he would be allowed to walk the entire city and beyond the city 2,000 amas in each direction. Holy Chula Iracheres, if the Goyim or this Ruach Ro was responsible to put him in another city, and that city is surrounded by Mechitzos, that's where they left him. Or, for example, Nisanuhu Bedir O Besar, these are different kinds of places that are surrounded by Mechitzos. A deer, for example, is a place called a fold. Sahar is a corral. And in either cases, these are beyond his tchum. Different types of enclosures that are used to hold animals. And basically, he was placed into an enclosed area that has more than an area of four amos. So we have here a machlokes tanoim on this particular case. Rav Gamliel, Rav Elazar ben Azariah omrim, he's allowed to mahalach eskula. He can walk throughout the city or throughout the deer or the sahar, because since this area is surrounded by mechitzas, it therefore has the same status as Dalet Amos. And even though a person left the city and now he's in another city, and let's say part of that second city is within the tchum of his city, in such a case, Eino Rashoy Lelech Eskula, he can only go up to the place where his tchum ends. We're not going to say that the entire city is considered Arba Amos, which means, to reiterate, is that on a normal situation, when a person is shoves in a city and he walks within 2,000 amah to another city, he doesn't have the rights to go beyond the 2,000 amah of his city, and he doesn't have the permission, the heter, to go all over the second city. But here in this case, he now has been placed in a second city. He lost his Tchum Shabbos from the first city. He's no longer bound by the Makom Shvis of his first city. And now he finds himself in a place which is Mukaf Mechitzos. Then according to this Shita, Rav Elazar ben Azariah and Rav Gamliel, he gets the entire area now within those Mechitzos. However, Rav Yeshua, Rav Akiva omrim, Ein lo ela arba amos. He can only walk up to four amos in the place where he finds himself, even though now he's in a place which is Mukaf Mechitzas. Maisa, a story, Shebo, four Tanoim came from a place called Plandasman, and they reached the port as they had wanted to do, and they were Kona Shvisa. All of a sudden, a wind came by, a very strong stormy wind, and Hifliga Svinasa Bayam, and it pushed their ship out into the water beyond Alpayim Amo. So this is another scenario in which they were Yotze, they went beyond the Tchum of Shabbos Ba'ones, through circumstances beyond their control. Rangoli, Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Holchu, on that Shabbos Es Kula, they walked through the boat, from one end of the boat to the other. And this reflects their sheet as we formulated it before, that when they were taken out ba'ones, chutz l'tchum, and they were left in a different makom, and that makom is mukaf mechitzas, they can walk the entire area that's mukaf mechitzas. Rabbi Shuv, Rabbi Kiva, lo zazu, they didn't move within the boat more than four amas that they had. And ratzu l'hachmir al atzman. Now, what is this addendum here of Lefisha Ratzu Lahachmir Al Atzmam? I mean, after all, this is just a reflection of their own Shita, and it's Meikra Din. This is not a Chumra Shechmir Al Atzmam. So the Gemara will take this up. Pamachas. Here's an additional story that happened with the Tanoim, the same four Tanoim. So they went out in a boat. They arrived at their destination, which is right before Shabbos. But lo nichnasu linamal ad shechashecha. They didn't reach the shore itself until it was already Shabbos. Now, what's happening is that they embarked from a certain place. They did what they had to do. They got to their place. Now they weren't able to get back to their original point of embarkation before it got dark. Amru lo l'Rav Gamliel, ma anu leret. They turned to Rav Gamliel, asking him, "Are we permitted to jump to?" Disembark from the boat and go into the city. In other words, now that we are within the tchum of the city, before Chashecha, even though we're on a boat out on the water, we were kona now shvisa in the area right outside the city, within the tchum of the city. And therefore, we would be allowed, according to this logic, to walk the entire city. Oshemo, should we say, that at the time of Hichshech, when Shabbos entered, we still weren't yet in the place that we had to do, and it's not called the tchum of the city, but rather we were koveya our makom, our shvisa, outside of the tchum. And therefore, after dark, we have left the tchum that shavasnu bo, and we don't have permission to disembark from the boat. So let's just go over the last part of the Mishnah. It happened that these four Tanoim were coming from a place called Plangensin, which is the city that they found themselves in. Now, it could be that this is a Roman port in southern Italy, which is called today Brundisium, and it was a point of arrival and departure for the eastern Mediterranean towards Eretz Yisrael. The ship was still in the port when Shabbos began, and now they were kona shvisa for tchum purposes, in the port, and the ship moved out to the sea to a point that was more than 2,000 amos from the port. In other words, it set sail. Now, we're not sure in that previous case, when they were coming from Plagesin, whether or not the ship sort of blew out, back out to the sea. But the bottom line is, they got stuck out in the sea, 2,000 amas plus from the port, and Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lozman Asari, as we said before, permitted walking throughout the ship. It's one entity, one Rishus HaYochid. And Rabbi Shura Akiva didn't move on the ship more than four amos. And in the second case, the ship did not enter the port until it was already dark and the Shabbos had begun. And we say that a tchum is designated or established by the location, the makom where a person finds himself when Shabbos begins, with Knesset HaShabbos. And they had to determine the spot where the ship had been exactly, the Knesset HaShabbos, when night fell. So they turned to Ram Gamliel and they asked him, can we disembark from the ship? Meaning, were we within 2,000 amas of the port at the time of Knesset HaShabbos? And the Gemara is going to be bothered how exactly Rav Gamliel was able to determine this from being on board on the ship. In any event, Omer Lehem, Mutar Matem Shekvar Yisim Hayisim Mistakel Vayinu B'tocha Tchum Ad Shelo Chashecha. You're permitted to disembark because already Ben Hashmashos, as Shabbos was entering, I observed the shore, I saw the shore. And certainly we were within the tchum of the shore of the port before it became dark. So the port is now within the area of their koneshvisa, of their tchum, and therefore they can walk within the port and they can certainly therefore disembark from the ship. And now we start the Gemara. Tana Rabbana. The Gemara begins with a brisa that talks about the case of the Akum and the Ruach Ra'ah. Shlosha Dvar Mavirnes Ha'odam Al Daito. There are three things that take a person out of his wits. And also Mavirno Saldas Kono. Since he doesn't have his wits about him, he won't be able to fulfill the Torah and the mitzvah. Svieluhen. Ovdei Kochavim. These are idolaters, and they pressure the Jews to transgress the Torah. Number two, Ruach Ra'ah, some sort of an evil spirit that makes them mentally deranged, they're not thinking clearly. And finally, Dikduke Anius. And Dikduke Anius, he says here, Pirush, Nochrim V'Ruach Ra'ah Kofen Osob Al-Karcha Anius Nami, poverty could also force a person to lose his wits about him. Dechsiv, a pasuk in Mishlei, upen oresh v'gonavti. In any way, l'may nafkimina, the Gemara wants to know what this Bryce is trying to convey to us. Why is it so important to know about these three categories? And the Gemara answers, l'miboy rachmi alayu, first and foremost, we should know that we have to pray either that each person should pray that he should never experience any of these terrible calamities so that he shouldn't violate the will of his Creator. But then the Braisa continues and says, Shlosha ein roim pnei gehenna. There are three categories of people who, because they suffer and they achieve atonement for their sins through their suffering, therefore they will never suffer Gehenna. This is what we call in Yiddish Gehenna auf die Welt. And there are many different cases and statements in Chazal of things that will save a person from Dina Shel Gehenna. But here the language is Ein Roe Pnei Gehenna. And the Marsha explains that what does it mean Ein Roe Pnei Gehenna? He means that in other cases that Chazal enumerated situations in which a person is able to save himself through Kiyum HaMitzvahs, here he is going to be Zocha through Tzar and not through Kiyum HaMitzvahs. And furthermore, there are people who will be saved and spared Dina Shel Gehenom, but nevertheless they will be Roim Pnei Gehenom. We had this earlier in the Agadita on Daf Yud Tesamim Beis, that first they go down to Gehenna and then Avraham Avinu is going to save them from Gehenna. But here we're talking about people that won't even go down to Gehenna, and therefore the emphasis is Eino Roim Pnei Gehenna. V'eluhem Dikduke Anius, the exactions of poverty, in other words, a severe poverty. Chole Me'ayim, and this is intestinal disorders and varishus. Now, what is rishus? He says, "Mishi yeshlo bnei adam anoshim bo." He owes money, and people are pressuring him to repay those debts. His creditors are pressuring him. When he's overburdened with debt, and he doesn't have the wherewithal to repay his debts, he's constantly hounded by creditors, and he's tormented by the pressure, that unletting up pressure and attention. So then, on the one hand, we have those terrible experiences which a person has to pray constantly to be spared from these afflictions, problematic situations which distance a person from his Creator, and it's important to pray in advance that he should not suffer and encounter these problems at all. Perhaps, as Ian Yaakov says, we should pray on behalf of people who are afflicted with those problems as well. And even if we see them violating the Torah laws, we realize they're not totally responsible for their actions. Like the case of Yotzei HaShoah, the Nitzoli Shoah. And in the second category, these are people who suffer, and as a result of their suffering, they are spared, and they don't even see the Pnei Gehenna. Yesh Omrim, others add, Af Misha Yeshlo Isha Ra. If he suffers in his marriage from a difficult woman, that's also heck on earth, so to speak, and that would bring him a kapara that would spare him from seeing the face of Gehenna. The Idach, why doesn't the first opinion mention Isha Ra? And the Gemara answers, Isha Ra, mitzvah l'garsha, that if she's such a bad wife, then he should be divorcing her. He can avoid this suffering. He doesn't have to live in such a marriage and continue with that suffering. Now, when we speak about a bad wife, we should point out, and this you'll see in the Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezer, that if the moral standards fall short of the norm of a Yirat Shamayim, she's considered an Isha Ra if she falls below those standards. Or you could have a woman who is grossly defective in her personality and her character. She's really a contentious woman. V'idach, and what's the counter-argument to Ben against Mitzvah Garsha, and why the Yesh Omrim count this case of Isha Ra? And the answer is that although he should be divorcing her, but nevertheless, Zimnin de Ksubasa Meruba, there are situations in which her Ksuba is so high, and the Baal, the husband in this case, cannot afford to pay for the Ksuba, and therefore he doesn't divorce her. Nami, another situation is Islay Bonamine, she has children from him, or I should say he has children from her, and Lomotzi Megarishla, he cannot divorce her, and although legally, of course, he's allowed to divorce her, but he doesn't see divorce as the right alternative, so he's suffering in an unavoidable situation, and that's going to atone for his sins. Lamainaf community, the Gemara wants to know, why do we bother giving this teaching? What is it important for us? And the Gemara says, L'kibule bi'ava, that if he suffers from these various categories that we mentioned, and he realizes that this is going to be a kapara for him, and it's not in vain that he's suffering, then he could, so to speak, receive and accept the suffering with love, and he should not, so to speak, be mavait in this suffering, you know, kick it, so to speak. Now, the question is whether or not he should be mavakesh rachamim to spare him, to save him from this suffering. The Re'af, one of the super commentaries on the Ein Yaakov, says that in this scenario, the series of scenarios, he should not be praying to Hashem to spare him, because he should be happy with the fact that he's getting a kapar of his avonos, and he's being saved from the din of Gehenna. In any event, there's a whole sugya about the maila, the great level of Yisurim, and those who are makabel Yisurim b'ahava. Now, it's interesting that on this list we find the Kduke Anius. And the Kduke Anius was on the first list of the Dvarim Shemavirinis Adam al Daitav al Das Kono, about which we said that he should be Mavakish Rachmim, they shouldn't experience them. Here, the same Kduke Anius appears in the second list, verbatim, word for word, and it's something that he should be makabel the ava, and according to the Riaf, he shouldn't even be praying that it shouldn't happen to him. So we have what looks like a contradiction with regard to the Kduke Anius. So the Marsha suggests the following, that the second statement, the category, the second paragraph, is addressing a case where the Kduke Anius is something that he's suffering from, but it's not Mavirino Sol Daito. He still has his wits about it. And if he's not on the level of that, you know, lost his wits, then Yesh Lo Yispal Shel Yovolov. He's in this middle stage where he's suffering Kduke Anius, but he's still not Mavirino Sol Das Kono. Therefore, he should be praying that he shouldn't reach that level of Mavirno Soldas Kono. Furthermore, says the Marsha, Ein Odom Zocha Lekach Shedikduki Anius Yatzilenu Midina Shal Genem El V'Ofet Shaharbe Hirbo Levake Shulis Paul Al Kach. When does a person get to this second level of Kduke Anius, where he's given the protection and the salvation from Dina Shel Gehenim? That's only a person who is marbe, he increased his level, I assume it means both quantitatively and qualitatively, of Bakosha and Tefillah. And then, since he reached that level, then he has a guarantee that the Kduke Anius, in his situation, after he poured out his heart and his petitions were accepted on high, then his anius would certainly guarantee him hatzola, protection from Dina Shel Gehenna. The Braisa continues, Shlosha, there are three kinds of illnesses, Mesim, Kishahen, Misaprim. In other words, he could die suddenly. And what is that? Eluhem Cholim Ayim Chaya and Hidrokon. Let's try to understand this last part of the Brice, and then we'll see the Gemara about Lemay Nafki Mina. We're talking about three types of sufferers that'll die suddenly. What does that mean? While they are conversing. And who are these sufferers, these ill categories of ill people? Number one is Choli Me'ayin, those who are suffering nebuch from stomach disorders, V'chaya, and those who suffer from postnatal complications, and Hydrokin. Hydrokin is a type of disease of the mouth that affects the stomach, causes a person's complexion to become discolored, and usually it involves some sort of a swelling of the stomach. And in these three cases, he will die suddenly. So the Gemara asks, L'may nafki mina, you're telling me that he'll die suddenly. So why is it important that we know this? Lemash Mushe Behu Zvardita. In other words, we should already be prepared in these illnesses for the ultimate, for the faith and the kvura, the burial. Prepare the shrouds for such people. Now, the Yin Yaakov wants to know, is preparing the shrouds so critical? L'hochin lo tzedel l'derech l'tahinu tachrichim? Well, take a look in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Yud Zayin. Tzvisu le zvardasa hechinu lo tzedel l'derech mahi tzedes hamesim tachrichim hakavona hi sheyiten achol el libo shekarv yomo v'yitzavu espinei beso. In other words, once he's suffering from these diseases, he has to be prepared for the ultimate possibility that he might die suddenly. He should write his will, he should repent and do tshuva, and he should be aware of the seriousness of his condition, and therefore yachin es libo shekarv yomo v'yitzavu es b'nei beso. Okay, after this digression, now we return to the case of an Adam Shiyotzel Chutz L'Tchum or Chazer Midaito. Omer Rav Nachman Omer Shmuel, Adam Shiyotzel Chutz L'Tchum L'Das, he made a deliberate decision to leave the Tchum of Shabbos. He wasn't onus in any way. Ein lo ela arba amos. We're only going to give him 4 amos. Pshita. The Gemara says, isn't this something that we learn from our Mishnah? We don't need Rav Nachman or Meshmuel to teach us this. Hashta, the Mishnah tells us, Mishotziu nochrim ein lo ela arba amos. If he was forced and compelled by Goyim to leave the Tchum Shabbos, he gave up his Tchum Shabbos now, whether he likes it or not, and he has a maximum of arba amos. Is Yotzel Das mi boy? Doesn't go without saying that in the case where he deliberately, free will, he decided to leave the Tchum, that he's not allowed to walk more than 4 amos. So therefore the Gemara now refurbishes the statement of Shmuel. Ela Ema, perhaps we should say that a person who was taken out by Nochrim, Chutz L'Tchum, and then he was brought back in, L'Das, in other words, he went back into the Tchum, L'Das, Midaito Ritzono, is Enlo, he doesn't have in his city that he goes back to, his own city, Ela Arbamas Bulvat. And we're not going to consider him like the case of the guy who took the Jew out of his makom and then brought him back to his makom, where it's as if he wasn't Yotze Klal. That's a case of Echziru Bal Korcho. But if, on the other hand, he decided that he is going back into the Tchum after the Goyim took him out, Midaito Mirtzono, then we're only going to allow him 4 amos. That's the Chiddush of Shmuel. You might have thought that since he left the Tchum Bal Korcho, when he comes back into the Tchum, he reestablishes his original Shvisa where he was Konim Makom B'Knisa Sashavs. Kamashmul, no, he could only have Dalet Amos because he violated the law. He decided on his own to go back into his original Tchum. So Gemara asks, Tomi Nami Tnina. This can also be derived from the Mishnah. It's not such a big Chiddush, because the Mishnah says that if the Nochrim took him out from his city and then they brought him back, Echziru Nochrim, then it's Ke'ilu Lo Yotza. And from the fact that the Mishnah stipulates this condition, that Echziru Nochrim, we can derive the conclusion with a diuk that Echziru Hu De Ke'ilu Lo Yotza. Aval Im Hotziu Nochrim V'Chazal Adas Ein Lo Ela Arba Amos. So it's really implying very strongly that if he goes back into the Tchum Shabbos that he started from, Mirtzono, L'das, as we call it, then he doesn't have more than four amos. So why again does Shmuel have to teach me this? Therefore, from this Kasha, the Gemara again goes back to the din of Shmuel and reformulates it for a second round. Should be the third interpretation of Shmuel. Ela Ema Yotza Ledas. We're talking about a person who deliberately left the Tchum Shabbos Ledas, Mirtzono Umidaito, and then Hichziru Nochrim. The Goyim, Bal Korcho, and Shalomi Daito, they brought him back, paradoxically, to his original Makom Shvisa. And here Shmuel wants to say, Ein Lo El Arba Amos, which is really interesting because he's really now on Shabbos exactly where he was when he started the Shabbos. He should be given a full range of Tchum Shabbos to walk, but no, we're only going to give him four Amos. His din is not the same as a person who was taken out by the Goyim, compelled, and then brought back by the Goyim, which we said in the Mishnah is Ki'ilu Lo Yotza Klal. That's a person who was taken out of his Tchum Shabbos Bal Korcho by the Goyim. Here we're talking about a case, says Shmuel, of Yotza Midaito. And even though against his will they brought him back, and he's back to where he started with, he only gets Arba Amos. And the reason for that is that once he decides to leave his original Tchum, and he walked out deliberately outside of the Tchum, now he no longer has the Tchum. He has actually forfeited his original Tchum by doing this, shall we say, active and deliberate decision to leave the Tchum. And that's the new formulation of Shmuel, which the Gemara is going to try again to derive from the Mishnah and ask why Shmuel was compelled to teach us that which we could derive from the Mishnah. Now, in the case of Yotza Ledas, V'chaza Ledas, he doesn't have four Amos. That goes without saying. But he is allowed to walk B'chol Ha'ir, because the city itself is considered like four Amos. And that's only because he was Shovis there B'knis HaShav. So says the Rosh. That's not a simple... that's debatable in the Rishonim. So Gemara asks, Hanami Tanina. Once again, we could derive this conclusion from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hotziu Nachrim v'chziru ki lo yotza. In other words, when do we give him the entire Tchum that he started with and he go Chutzliya 2000 Amot? That's because both Hotziu and Hechziru Bal Korcha, the Nachrim, did the job. Let's be medayik from the Mishnah that only in this case is a ki lo yotza. Why? Because hotziu nachrim v'chziru. Who? That's the only case of ki lo yotza. Avol yotza l'das. But the implication is if he made that decision to give up on his tchum and he left, deliberately left the tchum Shabbos, midaito is lo. Then even if afterwards the goyim force him back to his original city, nevertheless, we cannot say it's as if ilu lo yotza. You get a ki ilu lo yotza would be when he was yotza b'kfiya b'ones by the goyim. But here it was yotza midaito. Therefore, we'll only give him four amos. So we see clearly that from the diuk in the Mishnah, we could derive the conclusion that Shmuel formulates. So once again, why did Shmuel have to teach me this din when it's implicit in the Mishnah? And the Gemara gives a hava mina. How we could have interpreted the Mishnah in a different light. Ma'od Tema, I could have said that the two cases that are formulated by the Reish of the Mishnah, Litzdodim Ketani, we should divide them up into two Tzdodim. In other words, what we're saying is the second din is not a continuation of the first din. Each din is addressing a different principle. The first din, and it's called Litzdod. The first din is talking about Misho Tziyu Nochrim. And Chazal Das is Elo Ela Arba Amos. That even though he was forced to leave his Tchum by the Nochrim, but nevertheless he deliberately decided to go back into his Tchum, which he wasn't allowed to do, and he cannot reclaim his original Tchum Shabbos, and therefore he's limited to Arba Amos. The second din is limited to a case where he went back Ladas, and he only gets Arba Amos. Aval yotza ledas v'chziru nachrim ki'ilu lo yotza. The implication would be in this interpretation that if he was yotze midas, now the goyim hechziru ledas is then it's ki'ilu lo yotza. So the possibility litzdodim ketani was that in the case where hotziun lenachrim and then chazal ledas, then he has only dalet amos. But let's say in the reverse case where he went out ledas, but the nachrim came back and took him back bal korcho, then we could have said ki lo yotza, which we give him, you know, his original makom shvis, and he could walk anywhere in the city, etc. Kamash malon. That's why I needed Shmuel to teach me that that's not so. But rather that the second din in the Mishnah is a hemshek of the first din. And what the Mishnah is saying is that, number one, in the case where the Nochrim took him out, chutz l'tchum, and and in that case, he's outside the tchum, so he doesn't have more than arba amos. Hichziru l'mkomo, however, then it's as if he didn't go out. And now we could learn that dafka in that situation, the din is that ki lo yotza, because they took him out bal karcho, and now they brought him back. But a person who left midaito, even if the goyim would bring him back bal karcho, he's already forfeited his tchum shabbos, his makom shvisa, and he only has arba amos. Boy minei me rabba, they asked Rabba the following question. The goyim took him out chutz l'tchum, and they put him down there. He doesn't have more than dalet amos. Hutzok l'nekov of mahu. What happens if he needs to relieve himself? Is he allowed to go out chutz l'dalet amos to do his tzrochov, or he's not allowed to? He has to do his tzrochov mamish in that mokom. Amalehem, so Rab applies the principle of Godol Kovod Abriel Shedochas Los Sashavat Torah. This would be a chisaron in Kovod Abriel if you're going to force him to do his Tzrochim Vimkomo. And therefore we're going to override that Iser of Tchumin, which is only Drabbanon in this particular case, and allow him to go Chutzlar Ba'amis in order to do his Tzrochim, and that's Mishum Kovod Abriel. Now, there is an issue in the Rishonim about Harchaka going out of the Dalet Amos Lasiyas Tzrochov. According to one school of thought, he's allowed to go even for urinating, and that's also included in Kovod Abriyos. The Rosh, on the other hand, says that only for the sake of excrements, that's going to be a Chisor being Pogea Kovod Abriyos, but not for urine. There's another Machlokas on a different point. After he already did his tzrochim, then can he go back to his makoma rishon? The Rambam says for sure, and Tosfos and the Rosh seem to assume that he already lost his original arba amos when he was marchik himself for the purpose of asiyas tzrochim, and now he's kona a brand new arba amos. And if that be the case, then if he's going to have to go another harchok of dalet amos in order to find a makom tzenuah, he's not allowed to go back to his original makom arishon. Amri nardoi, in nardoi they said that e pikeachu ail l'tchuma that came of the aisle al. If this person who has to use the facilities, so to speak, he has to relieve himself, is a smart guy, what he'll do is he'll go into the tchum. In other words, he'll leave his arba amos, but in the direction of the city. And therefore, he's going to have to eventually li'eat him. I guess down the line, he'll have to go into the tchum of the city. And once he's back in the tchum of the city, came in the all, and he had rishus to go into the city, then it would again activate the principle of ki'ilu lo yotza klal. and he's not worse than a person who was taken back into the tchum by the nachrim, and that's the din of ki lo yotza klal. And again, he was forced to leave his tchum of arbamis because he had to relieve himself. So that's like a case where the goyim took him out, and now they bring him back into the tchum. So that's the piklus of a person who is going to he's going to relieve himself, but towards the city, and hopefully, eventually, piecemeal, he'll make it back into the city itself. So that this wise person re-enters his tchum while seeking a private area. Now, he'll go in the direction of his original tchum to find a private area to relieve himself, and if that brings him back to the tchum, then he regains the use of his tchum. And kevin the all, once he's returned to his original tchum legally, and he did it kedasu kedin, he's returned, and now he regains the use of his original tchum. Now, the Rush points out that he cannot bypass a private area in order to enter into his original tchum. But once he relieves himself, he again could move in the direction of his tchum to escape the odor of the waste. Because again, it would be a violation of Kavod HaBrios if he would have to spend Shabbos next to the waste. And if that brings him back into the tchum, he regains the use of the tchum. And as we said before, we can derive this from the Mishnah. Now, the laws of tchum, of course, restrict a person's movement, and it also restricts, as we said in the introduction, the movement of animals and possessions, of behemoth and kelim. They also have to remain within the tchum of the bailim of their owner. Amra papa, peiros sheyotza chutz l'tchum v'chazru, fruits were taken out of the tchum, and then they were returned. Is afilu b'mezid lo efsidu es mekoman. In other words, unlike a person who left the tchum, he lost his original tchum, but not so with regard to the fruits that were taken out of the tchum. And even if this was all done deliberately, they didn't lose their original tchum. They can be carried throughout their original tchum area. My time, well, what's the logic to make this distinction? Why are fruits treated differently than a person? If he leaves deliberately, then he loses his tchum. And the Gemara answers that anusim ninhu, the fruits themselves are considered anusim. So they have the din like the case in our Mishnah where the Nachrim took him out and the person was powerless, he was compelled. And if he was returned against his will, then he regains his original tchum. Esrei Rav Yosef Bar Shmuel Rav Papa, and Rav Yosef now quotes a brisa which challenges Rav Papa. Rav Nechemi Rav Elazar and Yaakov Omrim Li Olam Asurim, the fruits that were taken out of the tchum are prohibited. In other words, they cannot be moved, they cannot even be eaten, and we have to understand why they cannot be eaten until the end of Shabbos. And Ashi Yachzeru Limkoman Bishogigin, until they were returned to the original tchum area, Bishogig. Shogig in Mezid Lo. That means if they return to the original tchum deliberately, then the fruits are still forbidden until after Shabbos. That's against Rav Papa. And the Gemara answers Tanoihi. This is a matter of machlokes tanoim. Tisanya, we learned in a brisa, peros sheyotzu chutz l'tchum b'shoge ye ochlu b'mezid lo ye ochlu. If they were taken out chutz l'tchum b'shoge, then you're allowed to eat them. But if they were taken out b'mezid, they cannot be eaten because there was a violation of Shabbos by bringing them outside the tchum. And we have a rule that a person, Maisa Shabbos, he's not allowed to benefit from any sort of desecration of the Shabbos. Now, if the fruits were returned to the Tchum, Rapapa allows using them, even though there was a prohibition that was violated in returning them. But since it's only an Issur Drabanan, we're going to waive it in the case of fruits that were returned to their original place, they're back where they started. And he's really not benefiting from their exit and return because he's back to square one. So as far as this rabbinic prohibition that was violated, we're going to be lenient, we're going to be matir him to use them. And now we turn to Daf Membeis Amid Aleph. Rav Nechemia Omer, Bimkomam, if the fruits are back in their original place, Ye Ochli can be eaten. Shalobim Koman, Lo Ye Ochli. If they're not in their original Tchum, then once again, he would be benefiting from a desecration, a violation of the Shabbos. Okay, that's where we're going to stop for now, even though we're still in the middle of a sugya, but we're running out of time for now, and we'll pick up Mirza Shem here on the top of Daf Membeis Amaral.